Good morning. It is a pleasure to be with you this morning. Always excited to have guests with us. If you're guests, welcome to First Baptist Church of Thibodaux. I know it's a rainy day, but it's always great to see faces with us as we have gathered together to worship the Lord. Members, welcome. Great to see you guys. Always praying for you guys. And thankful to be diving into God's Word together. Thank Jared and the music team for just leading us in worship. Praise the Lord for songs that can electrify our hearts and prepare us for the Word of God. So go ahead and turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. We have been systematically, expositionally walking through the book of Matthew, and we are in the Sermon on the Mount. And we will be concluding the Sermon on the Mount in the next few weeks. Okay, so Matthew chapter 7. Verses 13 through 14. When you've arrived to the text, say, "Word, word." Can you please stand out of reverence to God's holy word as we read God's word together. "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide, and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you, God, for your goodness. God, as I contemplate on your goodness, God, it stimulates a passion in my heart to worship you, that you're good and so good. And even when we are not good, even when we are malicious, and even when we have evil in our hearts and we are sinners, that you are still so good. So, Father, I pray that we can contemplate on your goodness this morning. And God, I pray that you will be able to open our hearts and minds to understand your words. So, Father, teach us what we do not know, make us what we are not, and give us what we do not have. And God's people said, amen, amen. You may be seated. The title for today's sermon is The Two Roads. The Two Roads. Our lives are filled with making decisions. I mean, we make decisions as to what to wear, where to go, what to say, what to buy, and so on and so on. It's filled with decisions. And some decisions are insignificant, but there are some decisions that are very significant. And our ultimate decision on this earth is our decision about Christ and his kingdom. And brothers and sisters, this is exactly what Jesus wants us to see in this verse, or these verses. Jesus then calls us to make that decision. The decision to follow him. The decision whether to be a part of the kingdom or not a part of the kingdom. These are two great truths in Scripture. God's sovereignty, that God elects, that God predestines, that God chooses. We cannot argue these facts because Scripture affirms these facts. On the other side, there is human responsibility, that we are called to make a decision. We are called to repent. We are called to trust in Jesus. We are called to place our faith in Christ. Scripture talks about this as well. This situation was brought up to Spurgeon, who was a Calvinist. Definitely he was. And someone knew about this and realized that Spurgeon was always calling people to repent. Human responsibility. So this person went up to Spurgeon and said to Spurgeon, "How can you reconcile these two truths, that God is sovereign and man is responsible?" Spurgeon, who is so good with words, notice what he says. "I wouldn't try," he replied. I never reconcile friends." "Friends?" "Yes, friends. This is the point that we have to grasp. In the Bible, divine sovereignty and human responsibility are not enemies. They're not uneasy neighbors. They're not in an endless state of cold war with each other. They are friends. They work together. And brothers and sisters, this is exactly what Christ wants us to see in this text. The Sermon on the Mount, Jesus has been sharing about the sovereignty of God. He has been sharing about those who are poor in spirit, those who mourn over their sins, that your righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees, that you must be perfect like your heavenly Father is perfect. And we say to ourselves, we cannot do this. What can we do? We must rely on the sovereignty of God. And towards the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he concludes it by calling us to make a decision, which is man's responsibility. So now that you've listened to this great truth, Jesus now wants you to place your hope and trust in him and in him alone. This is Jesus' altar call, if you want to call it that. After Jesus' great sermon, Jesus is saying to you, make a decision. Because Jesus understands that people are probably listening to him. They were listening to him. He had an audience, and they were all listening to him. And they're probably saying to themselves, wow, Jesus is a great teacher. Listen to his words. They're awesome. They're great. With no desire to change. Jesus, being a master teacher, being God himself, understands that. He understands the crowd. And he doesn't want them just to admire his saying. He wants them to apply his saying. He wants them to follow his saying. Brothers and sisters, notice how the golden rule, or if you want to call it that, the golden straight edge summarizes the Sermon on the Mount. It concludes it. It helps us understand that we are called to love God, to love others as we love ourselves. It calls us to see the difficulty that we cannot do this on our own, that we need to trust in Jesus and the work of Jesus Christ. And now, Jesus is calling for commitment. See for yourself. I have a PowerPoint for you to see how much Jesus wants us to see, right? So we must choose the kingdom of God or the kingdom of Satan. We must choose this prevailing culture or the Christian counterculture. And see what Jesus does. He helps us see our choice and commitment in this passage. He talks about two ways, the broad way and the narrow way. Two teachers, the false teacher and the true teacher. Two pleas, the word and deeds. And finally, two foundations, sand and rock. Now, I want you to observe with me. Imagine that you are with Jesus and you are in this crowd. Perhaps thousands of people are listening to Jesus. Jesus, being God, understands that there are different people and ways that people are comprehending what he's saying. Perhaps there are some in that group who are thinking to themselves, wow, I listened to Jesus' words. They are really amazing. They're great. But you know what? I'm going to change just a few things about my life, but I'm still going to stay on the wrong road. I don't want to necessarily get on the right road. Because I don't want to forsake my sins. I don't want to change everything about me. Just a little bit. Just a minor alteration. And here Jesus helps them understand. To be able to come to him. To be able to understand him. To be able to understand the Sermon on the Mount. You must choose. And you must be committed. You must trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. And make an about turn. What Jesus is sharing in these concluding verses is saying to people this: you must make a great commitment. And to begin on this journey, the first thing is repentance and to make an about turn. Turn away from your sins, turn away from the wrong road, and get on the right road. Perhaps there were some that were thinking to themselves, well, Jesus is a good teacher. I like his teaching so much. I want to go out and find other teachers. Maybe other teachers in different religions. Maybe I'll find a Buddhist. Or I'll find one who's teaching about Muhammad. Or I'll find another teacher who's teaching something different. Because I am religious. And Jesus is saying this in this text. He's saying, be careful who you listen to. Because if you follow the wrong teacher, it would lead you away from the true road, the right road. Maybe there were some that were thinking to themselves in this group, well, all I have to do is just to profess, to say all the right things, to say I'm a follower of Jesus, that Jesus, I'm willing to follow you, but to change nothing about my life. So just to make a profession, but not a changed heart. And in verses 21 through 23, Jesus then says, it's more than just what you say, but what you say must be backed up with what you do. That you must have good deeds. Your profession of faith is important, but the good fruit of your profession of faith is your actions and what you do, how you act. And still, there were probably some in the group, and as Jesus was teaching, that were thinking to themselves, well, I can do this on my own. I've listened to everything Jesus said, and I can fulfill all of this on my own. I don't need Christ. And Jesus says to them, the only way that you can get on the right road is to have a solid foundation, and that solid foundation, that solid rock is Christ himself. All other foundation will sink. Jesus, the master teacher, understands this. And perhaps there are some in the congregation today that are thinking like Jesus' audience. That you think you can do it without Christ. That you think you can come to church, enjoy preaching, enjoy Sunday school, make a few changes in your life, but still stay on the broad road, the wrong road. You're saying, all I have to do is to act like, just talk like a Christian. Say whatever the Christian friends are saying, whatever my Sunday school teachers, whatever my friends are saying, whatever my preacher is saying, I'll say what he's saying. But man, when I go home, I live like the devil. That your profession is not backed up by your actions. Maybe that's you in this room today. My prayer is that you will come to a greater knowledge of Christ and that you will desire to make a solid decision, that you will be committed to Christ. So listen, Christians, I want you to listen up. Pay attention to Jesus' words and share the gospel boldly. And if you're not a Christian this morning, if you're just here and you have not yet committed your life to Jesus Christ, please pay attention to the words of Christ and make a decision. Either you're going to be a part of God's kingdom or the kingdom of this world. Notice with me very carefully. I want you to see that if you are not on the path to Christ, you are on the path away from Christ. There's no in between. Jesus says there's only two paths. In our world, we want a different category, right? Just the ones that are necessarily, they're not seeking Jesus, but they're not bad people, so we'll put them in this category. Listen, if you're not on the path to Christ, you're on the path away from Christ. There are only two roads, no in between. I want you to see this morning, we'll focus on two points. This morning, I want you to see two paths in life, two roads that we must choose from. Simple. First one, the wrong road. Just to be clear, this is the road you want to avoid. You don't want this road. Second, the right road. The right road. We see this in verse 14. Let's notice the first one, the wrong road. The concept of wrong path and right path has already been mentioned in Scripture. Especially in the book of Psalms, Psalm chapter 1, we see of the right path and the wrong path. There is the path of the righteous that is prosperous, that is good. And God prospers him and God gives him good things. He delights in the law of God. That's the path of the righteous man. And then there is the path of the wicked man mentioned in Psalm 1. That he is like chaff. And he perishes. Here Jesus uses perhaps a very similar situation, but he expounds on this. And Jesus wants us to see something incredible. He wants us to see the wrong road. Now there are three descriptions that I need you to see that Jesus helps us see about the wrong road. First, the wrong road is broad and easy. The wrong road is broad and easy. Second, many people are on the wrong road. Many people are on the wrong road. And three, the wrong road leads to destruction. It leads to destruction. Three descriptions that Jesus gives us to understand more about the wrong road. Let's notice the first description. The wrong road is broad and easy. Now, the word broad in the original language is the word spacious or roomy. Jesus has a picture in mind. And Jesus is thinking of a large entrance into a city that opens onto a broad boulevard. I have a picture up there for you to see, right? So we understand this, like big roads, right? Jesus' point here is to show a road that is so spacious, so roomy, that you can bring all your baggage with you. It is a road that is easy to find. It is a road that many people want to go on. It is a road that you can bring all your different views. You can bring your sin. You could bring all your comfort onto that road itself. That's Jesus' point here. On this road, it has no curbs, no boundaries of either thought or conduct. This road is characterized by self-love, hypocrisy, mechanical religion, and false ambition. Notice all the things that I mentioned, all the characteristics. There's no effort in trying to do these things. These things come naturally, naturally. Effort is needed to resist them, but no effort is required to practice them. Do you see it? This is why it's easy. Effort is needed to resist them. No effort is required to practice them. That's why this road is broad and easy. John MacArthur helps us understand, and this is what he states, the way that is broad is easy, attractive, inclusive, indulgent, permissive, self-oriented way of the world. There are few rules, few restrictions, few requirements. Sin is tolerated. Truth is moderated. And humility is ignored. God's word is praised, but not studied. His standards are admired, but not followed. The road requires no spiritual maturity, no commitment, and no sacrifice. That's the broad road. Brothers and sisters, the idea of this broad road has no boundaries at all, none at all. You could bring all your beliefs. So there are some on this road that it says, I worship nature. Well, come on, we have room for you on this road. I worship Muhammad, come on. I worship Confucius, come on. I worship Buddha, come on. I worship myself, come on. You see, that's the nature of this road. Does it sound familiar? There is no absolute truth. There's only relative truth. There's no absolute truth. The only thing is, you can believe whatever you want, but we will go against intolerance on this road. Does it sound familiar? That's postmodernism. Postmodernism is a belief of the fallen world system. It has always been around, even in Jesus' time. And so it is a problem in our time today. Hold on to your belief, man. No matter what you believe, you're going to make it. There are many roads to heaven, and that's what the broad road is promoting. Notice as well the second description of this broad road. Not only is it broad and easy, it's easy to notice, easy to find. You will never be alone on this road. Why is that? Because many people are on this road. Although it's wrong, many people are on this road and following this road is the path of least resistance. It's easy. It's easy. So I'm going to jump on this road. Come in closer. I'm not naive to think, to know that there are perhaps some of you in this room that are on this road right now. I would venture to say that there are. There are. And you're saying to yourself, man, Kevin, it's easy. There are a lot of people around me that believes this the same thing. It's easy, it's broad. I don't want to get on this narrow road. I don't want persecution. I don't want people to look at me differently because I'm a Christian. You know, this is so sad because when I just got saved, and I used to go to the clubs and everything else, man, and I stayed in my house, went to work, came back, read the Bible, stayed in my house for about 1 month. I mean, I wouldn't go anywhere else, just work and in my room. And there was a neighbor of mine, his name was Ryan, and Ryan and I used to smoke weed together and do all kinds of stuff together. And I remember seeing Ryan, and I went up to Ryan, and I said to Ryan, "Ryan, man, I'm praying for you." He said, "Kevin, what's up, man? I haven't seen you. You look different. What's going on with you?" I said, "Ryan, I gave my life to Jesus." He looked at me, and he said, "Don't tell me that, bro. Really? You're going to follow that stuff now?" I said, "Ryan, man, it's the best thing ever. It has changed me forever." And I said, "I pray that you will come to know this great God that I know." And Ryan looked at me, and he said to me, "You're asking me to give up my women, my drugs, my lifestyle for this?" I said, "No, I'm asking you to trust in Jesus." "I don't want that, Kevin." Listen, a couple of weeks later, Ryan got arrested for double murder. And he's spending his entire life in prison right now. Ryan wanted to stay on the road that is broad, the road that leads to destruction. And yes, it led to destruction. Brothers and sisters, many people are on this road. It is a road that is heavily populated, and people are following it. If you are on this road this morning, listen, I'm not judging you. I'm not acting like I'm better than you, but I am pleading, turn away from this road and turn to the only way that is Jesus Christ, who can help you. Turn away from your sins and trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. Not only do we find many people are on this road, but notice what Jesus mentions. The road leads to destruction. The road seems safe at first, but the more you travel on this road, it plummets all the way down to hell. It's going to end, and there is destruction at the end of this road. And this is exactly what Jesus wants us to see. The word that Jesus uses for destruction, it doesn't necessarily mean extinction or annihilation. The word gives us a picture of torment. It is not the complete loss of a being, but the complete loss of well-being. This gives us a picture of one who is in constant agony. And this is a great picture of hell itself. This road will lead you away from Christ. And the destination will be hell. A place of torment, a place of darkness, a place that you will never experience joy ever again. That's the destruction that Jesus is talking about. Brothers and sisters, write this down. Think about this. The broad road that appears to be easy in the life leads to a path that will result in hardship in the next life. So it appears to be easy in this life. It's broad, it's easy, but it will lead to hardship in the next life. Think about this. And Jesus gives us a perfect example of this in Luke chapter 16, verses 9 through 31. It's the story of Lazarus, who is a poor man and a rich man. The rich man had a lot of food, Jesus mentions. The rich man had so much that he wouldn't even give to Lazarus, who was a poor man. The dogs would come and eat all the crumbs. And the rich man died and Lazarus died. Lazarus, when he died, he went to heaven. The rich man, when he died, he went to hell. And Jesus gives us the picture of this rich man who was in turmoil. And he begged for some water. But on earth, it looked so easy. He enjoyed himself. He had everything he ever wanted. When he died, he's in hell, suffering, burning, being tormented for the rest of his life. Whereas Lazarus is with Christ. Brothers and sisters, we see the great truth. Turn away from the wrong road, the broad road, the road where many people travel, the road that leads to destruction, and coming closer, listen to this, and turn to the right road, the narrow road, the road where maybe few people go on, and the road that leads to life. Notice with me the second point. Take a look at the second point, the right road. The right road. Again, Jesus gives us three descriptions of the right road. The right road is first narrow and hard. The word narrow is the word stenos, and it's from the root meaning of groaning, as one who groans. And it basically gives us a picture of one who is under pressure. Figuratively, the word was used to describe restriction and constriction. This is the idea of the word. The word itself, our English word, stenography, is from this word, stenos. Stenography means writing that is abbreviated or compressed. So it gives you a picture of this narrow road that Jesus is talking about. Now, this road is not going to be easy. It's going to be hard. It's difficult. But I want you to see with me very carefully the characteristic of those who travel on the right road. So we see the characteristic of those who travel on the wrong road. They're selfish, hypocrisy, mechanical religion, false ambition. The characteristic of those who travel on the right road is something incredible. Notice very carefully how those who travel on the right road, yes, it's a narrow road, but their thoughts about God is narrow. Now, I want to explain this to you. Their thoughts about God is narrow. What I mean is that there is no relative truth, but absolute truth. They understand that God is who he says he is, that there are right things about God and there are false beliefs about God. They understand that there are people who are degrading God and there are people who exalt God. They believe truth. They have a great vision of God. And even those who travel on the broad road think that they are broad. Their vision of God is not as big as those who travel on the narrow road. The biblical vision of God is electrifying for those who travel on the narrow road. Brothers and sisters, I want you to get this very carefully. Those who travel on the narrow road knows God so well. They understand what to do and what not to do. They understand the goodness of God, the attributes of God, the wrath of God, all of these things about God. They study God. They are specialists when it comes to God himself. But their thoughts about God is electrifying. Their thoughts about God is narrow. Salvation is narrow for them as well. They're not saying that there are many roads to heaven, but they're saying there's only one road to heaven, one way to heaven. Salvation is narrow. In John chapter 10, verse 9, it states, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. So they understand their thoughts about God is narrow. They understand this salvation is narrow, but they also understand that their affection is narrow as well. They understand that God says to love him with all their heart, mind, and soul. But God also says, do not love anyone else above him or equal to him. They know this. Those on a narrow path are always killing idols in their lives. Why? Because they know God, and their affection of God is narrow. Their conduct is narrow as well. They hate sin. They go against sin. Sin causes them to mourn. As the Beatitude says, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Their conduct is narrow. Brothers and sisters, I want you to see that the gate that Jesus is talking about here kind of helps us understand something incredible. Most commentators, they actually say that perhaps the turnstile gates that we usually go through is what Jesus probably is describing, best described what Jesus is saying. It represents what Jesus is saying. And in a turnstile gate, only one person can enter. The cool thing about it is that you can't even bring your baggage with you. What a great description. The broad road says, bring all your baggage. Bring all your luggage. Bring all your sins. The turnstile gate says, only one person can enter. As a matter of fact, brothers and sisters, the one in heaven, you cannot even enter with your clothes. You have to go in naked. I'm just giving you a description. My point is, you cannot take anything with you through this gate. Nothing. One person at a time. Jesus' point of the narrow gate is this. It's about personal relationship. Not because your parent or your nanny or your grandfather or your grandmother or your cousin or your neighbors or Christians, it doesn't mean you will enter through this gate. Access to this gate is personal relationship. It doesn't matter if your wife or your husband or your girlfriend or your boyfriend is a believer and you are not, you will not enter into this gate. You must personally believe in Jesus Christ. Those, listen, coming closer. Those on the narrow gate, this is what they sing. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. That's what they sing. They sing it constantly. Nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. And they take great pleasure in Jesus Christ. They are constantly killing sin in their own lives. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 through 25, it states this. Then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You know what's a great example of one who is not willing to do this? One who said to himself, man, I trust in myself. I trust in my belonging. I trust in myself and in my self-righteousness was the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler ran to Jesus and said, good teacher. We know the story. Now, he's running to Jesus because of his self-righteousness. He said, how can I inherit eternal life? By far, one of the greatest questions in the Bible. Jesus says to him, obey your father and your mother, the Ten Commandments. Walk through every single one of them. The rich young ruler poked his chest out, thinking to himself, I've done all of this. Jesus, being the great God that he is, looked at the rich young ruler and said to him, you lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and come and be on this narrow road. This rich young ruler placed his head down and walked away. He was unwilling to let go of his idols that he believed gave him great satisfaction. Friends, to come into this personal relationship with Jesus, you cannot take anything with you. Not your sins, not your addictions, none of it. You lay it aside and you go to the Savior. And you trust in him. I love what Charles Spurgeon said concerning this. He says, you and your sins must separate, or you and your God will never come together. No one sin may you keep. They must all be given up. They must be brought out like the Canaanite kings from the cave and be hanged up in the sun. This dude is just really good with words. It's good. Kill your sins. Bring them out. Hang them so that they can dry and die. Brothers and sisters, what a great picture that Jesus has given us. That this gate is narrow. But notice the second description, right? Few people are on this gate. Notice what Jesus mentioned in the text. See for yourself. Let's read it together. In verse 13, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy and leads to destruction, and those who enter it are many. And then he states, for the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few. Only a few people are on this road. You know why? Because it's hard. The road continues to be narrow. It doesn't get narrow only when you become a Christian, and all of a sudden when you become a Christian for a long time is going to broaden up. No, it continues to be narrow. This is the truth of the gospel. That as long as you're a Christian in this world, you will be persecuted. Things will be tough, but you have Jesus with you. You are going against the culture in this world. You are going against Satan's kingdom. Yes, that there is a battle. When a person came to Jesus in Jesus' parallel passage of Scripture, Luke's parallel passage of Scripture of Matthew, someone came to Jesus and asked him, Lord, are there only going to be a few people in heaven? That person kind of picked up on what Jesus was saying. Throughout his ministry, he probably picked up that many people were just following Jesus just because he was a good teacher. Like they were not as serious as they should be. And the person asked the question, is there only going to be a few people in heaven? And Jesus replied in Luke chapter 13, verse 24, he says, strive to enter through the narrow door. For many, I tell you, will seek and to enter and will not be able. That word strive is the word agony. It's used in Hebrews. It's used multiple times in the book, in Paul's letters, Paul's epistle. The whole point of this man is to continue to strive to enter into the kingdom of God. Purposefully, intentfully enter into the kingdom. That's Jesus' point. Now notice with me the third and final description. The road leads to life. I want you to come in closer. I want you to grab your pen, your paper, look up on the screen, and I want you to write this down. Think about this. There's no hell at the end of the narrow road. There is unspeakable joy at the end of the narrow road. Unspeakable joy. We experience it on this earth, but listen, we will experience it even more when we get to heaven. The end of this road is Christ, who will look at us and say, good and faithful servant, enter, enter, enter. I cannot wait for that day to see my Lord and Savior to say, good and faithful servant, enter. That's the hope. That's the hope for all of us. What is the gate? The gate is Christ himself. The way that leads to life is Christ himself. This is the answer. John 14, 6 says, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Listen, the way to heaven is as narrow as Jesus, period. The way to heaven is as narrow as Jesus. The way to heaven is only Jesus. This is what we preach. This is what we believe. This is absolute truth. This is what we plead to our neighbors and our children and our family members. and our co-workers. And when we share the gospel, we say to them that there is only one way. No, Kevin, you're hurting my feelings. I believe something else. Listen, I love you, but there's only one way, and that's Jesus. That's Jesus. So friends, listen carefully to this. Jesus shows us this in Scripture. Two ways. One that leads to life, and the other that leads to destruction. Two ways. One that is hard, the other that is easy. There is no middle way. No middle way. There's two. One that leads to life, one leads to destruction. There are two gates, a broad gate and a narrow gate. There is no other gate. No other gate. There are only two crowds, the large crowd and the small crowd. That's it. No neutral group. There are two destinations, destruction and life. There's not a third alternative. You know, I know this because we as people, we need multiple choices, man. Not just one or two. Give me 15, Kevin. 15. That's why I like multiple choice questions and exams. I need 15 to think through. We say to ourselves, we don't want to make that commitment. Can I say, well, I don't want to be on the good road, the bad road. Is there another road created for me? What about the road that just doesn't care? The road that is pretty cool? No, there's only two roads. Two gates. Two crowds. Two destinations. You choose. You make that decision. Which one are you willing to get on? Can you turn away from the wrong road and trust in Christ for the right road? Can you do that? Are you willing to be committed to Christ? My prayer is that you are, and for you as believers, I pray that this sermon will form in your heart a greater passion to share Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are a sovereign God that saves us. That God, you are a sovereign God that elects and predestines and do all these great things on our behalf. And through that, God, you have also given human responsibility. And I thank you for that as well, God. And I just pray that as the gospel has been presented, as truth from your word has gone out and forth, that the people will turn to you, Father. We'll see you for who you are. We'll trust you. Trust your Son. So if there's any in this room that have not given their life to Christ, that I pray that they will. That they will be committed. God, we love you. Father, we thank you. We worship you in your mighty and precious name. Amen. Amen. Please stand.